Today on Real Life Radio.
Can you be a Buddhist in America? Can you be a Christian in America? Can you be a Muslim in America? Can you be an atheist in America? Absolutely. It's amazing. It's wonderful, isn't it? No one's challenging that. The First Amendment is to defend religion, not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, something that you should know, that in our church and in our media community, in the social media community, we have for decades, as a church, started every year off with the reading of the one-year Bible all the way through. So I'm encouraging you to join us and do the same. If you are not one of the tens of thousands of people that are actually on the same page with me, with my wife Lisa, with the church and beyond, the entire Real Life audience and beyond, get a copy of the one-year Bible and get started with us on January 1st. You can get a copy for yourself at jackhibbs.com, but by all means, please do this. And listen, get one for your friends or maybe a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. The one-year Bible, through the Bible in 1 year together. Join us.
That's the one-year Bible, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1. In today's culture, there are lots of worldviews, of course. So what does the Christian student look like, and how does a Christian student present their faith while they're on campus? You see, creation and evolution will certainly be a hotly debated topic on campus. How we all got here will be the foundation of all of our arguments. But you see, God and creation don't contradict each other. So the Christian student really needs to hang on to what God says in His Word. God is the author of reason and logic, and He will be on your side. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that history's been rewritten by those who refuse to accept the truth of God, truth of creation, and the truth of the Bible. You see, these so-called revisionists will use their own personal beliefs to prey upon the ignorance and tolerance of others in order to promote their own agenda. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The value of history is this. History is His story to us. And you know the old saying, for those who don't know history will be bound to repeat it. You only lick that hot iron once. You'll never do it twice. A child that has burned their fingers on an oven, they'll never do it a second time. Why? History. Example. Oh, I love this stuff. We're not going to make it. I love this stuff. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin, I need everybody to listen. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin Rush, he's a hero of mine, Benjamin Franklin, all united to form the abolitionist movement to stamp out slavery. Did you know that? No, because you know what? Recently, we just heard from a kid. Oh, man, America, what's America done for me? And all those founding fathers, bunch of slave owners. You know what? They did own slaves. It was very vogue to own slaves in Europe and in America. Were all the slave owners nice to their slaves? No. But were there slave owners who bought as many slaves as they possibly could to clothe them, feed them, and educate them, which was against the law, by the way. King George said, you educate a slave, and I'll have somebody come over to America and kill you. Did you know that? Did you know it was against the law to lead a slave to Christ? Because they didn't have the approval of the Church of England. Did you know that? So these three guys, by the way, these three honkies get together, and they say, we believe all people are equal. We've got to do something about this. I've been to Thomas Jefferson's house. I've read the writings of his slaves. Did you know this? Thomas Jefferson not only taught them how to read, he taught them how to read out of the Bible. And you learn that in a secular tour there at Monticello. Awesome. Yeah, but they own slaves. Yes, they own slaves. And as soon as the the freedom of America was intact, they began to release those slaves. And by the way, one of Jefferson's arguments were, gosh, I would have released these people today, but they would be homeless, they would be unemployed. What do I do? By the way, he went to France and ministered as a representative for the United States of America and took half of his black staff with him and had a ball. They had a blast. It depends on who you're talking about. Just remember this. These three guys wanted to set people free. That's not what you're hearing today in our classes. Everybody's having to apologize for America and for our Judeo-Christian values. By the way, here's a test. I will answer it tonight or some other night. Where was Europe, don't say it if you know, where was Europe and America buying the slaves from? Who were they buying the slaves from? Don't say it. That right there will flip your wagon or lid. Example number two, what was the United States' first international war? What was the United States' first international war? By the way, a little bit of, it's been America's longest running war. It's so constant that you don't even think of it as a war. The United States' first international war was in 1805. It commenced by order of President Thomas Jefferson when he launched an attack against the invasion of the Muslim Barbary pirates in North Africa in the Mediterranean Sea to free thousands of slaves that had been taken captive from their African villages. Did you know that? Did you guys learn that in school? How come? This is a big deal. Our first international war after becoming a nation was against Islamic pirate terrorists on the high seas of the Mediterranean who had took from their villages in North Africa, Africans, and took them to Alexandria, took them to Montezuma, took them to Tripoli, and sold them on the international slave market to Europe and America. Thomas Jefferson said, this is wrong, and launched an armada and sent the United States Marine Corps for their first international mission. Eight of them. Hey, don't laugh. There's only eight guys, but you know what they did? They whipped them and got those guys free. Why don't you guys know this stuff? It's available. You see, revisionists will tell you what they want you to know. American history is awesome, and God is all in it if you take the time to learn it. Example number three, who is considered to be one of the greatest scientists that America has ever produced in its history? Anybody know? You should be afraid to say something because I'm busting you on every one of these things. He wrote an almanac. He made a clock out of wood, and for 50 years, it was only 1 second off within 50 years. And he made it by hand out of wood. He is the man who designed the Beltway of Washington, D.C. He was an astronomer, a physicist. He was a farmer, a botanist, an amazing mathematician, probably the best mathematician we've ever had. His mathematician problems that he's created are, I've seen them. I've had a chance to see them in Washington, D.C. And Harvard students graduating senior year cannot solve his problems. Only a few of them have. Are you ready for this? His name's Benjamin Banneker. Anybody heard of him before? Raise your hand. Anybody? Thank God some of you have over here. What's wrong with the rest of you? These kids are over here. Benjamin Banneker. Thomas Jefferson wrote to the King of France and said, you got to have this guy over. He's brilliant. And when he showed up and stepped off the boat in France, the king freaked because Benjamin Banneker is a black man. Oh, yeah. Awesome, awesome man. By the way, I don't have the time to get into it. How you should hear how he came to Jesus. Oh my goodness. You ever heard of the term kick the bucket? Yes. Go find out what that means regarding Benjamin Banneker's life. Oh, I wish I could tell you this. We don't have the time. I don't even have the time to quit now. We're so far behind. By the way, listen to what Thomas Jefferson said about him in a letter to him. Nobody wishes more than I do. He's writing to Benjamin Banneker, Thomas Jefferson, president. Nobody wishes more than I do that nature has given to our black brethren talents equal to those of the other colors of men. and that the appearance of the lack of them is owed merely to the degradation in the condition of their existence, both in Africa and in America. President Thomas Jefferson, isn't that awesome? It's unbelievable what's going on. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Mom and dad, it's our responsibility to teach the kids. John 8:32 says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. We're seeing everything the opposite. Point number three this evening is this, the Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. And I'm going to try to pick up the pace because if I let myself get to point five tonight, there's 10 points, but if we get to point five, there's data there that's going to flip your mind. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. First of all, every one of us have a worldview here tonight. You may say, what's he talking about, worldview? It's how you perceive things in this world. It goes back to point number one. Do you believe in evolution or do you believe that God created? What you believe regarding that affects the whole way you conduct yourself in life. And a secular worldview is a worldview without God and without God's restraints. I can do anything I want. Don't tell me. I'm my own person. All that stuff's true. But you also, to be a human, must be responsible. No, I want to make choices all on my own, and I want someone else to pay for all my dumb decisions. I want to have all the fun, but without circumstances. That's impossible. You're actually flirting with anarchy when you talk like that. The Christian worldview is, yeah, you're going to answer to God. And even if there's a man who hates my guts and wants me dead, if he needs my help, by the way, nobody exhibits this more than the U.S. soldier. I've seen it. When the guy is shooting at you and he gets shot and he's bleeding and the Marine runs over to the guy that was just shooting at him and calls for a Navy medic who comes in and binds the guy up, they helicopter the terrorist out and treat him in a U.S. hospital, get him back to health while the guy's spitting, by the way, spitting on the surgeon that's helping him. Gets him back to health and then releases him back to, or puts him in prison, one or the other. Unbelievable. Where does that come from? Your worldview. Who are you tonight? Every one of you have a worldview tonight. What is your worldview? It dictates how you live your life. Do you fear God? Are you in awe of God? Do you respect God? It's going to be lived out in how you deal with other people, even your enemies. For the real Christian on this planet who has an enemy, that enemy of the real Christian, that Christian becomes the best friend of that enemy. Because we look beyond the enemy to God. And that enemy, though he doesn't perhaps believe in God, we honor his life. Students, we need to engage the world and challenge its positions. And we can do that respectfully. We need to do that. Remember I mentioned, was it last Sunday or whenever that was? I said, we always need to ask the question, why? Class, this is the way that it is. Raise your hand. Why? Make them earn their money. Why is that so? It's very, very important.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
When we're secularist or humanist, man is the center of the universe. And that's not true. But if we are the center of the universe, then we live for the moment. We look out for number one. If it feels good, do it. He who dies with the most toys wins. But humanists are funny. Secularists are funny because they're walking, talking contradictions in action. They're hilarious. They enjoy all the freedoms that Judeo-Christian God brings to them, but they deny him. In Psalm 14:1, the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wow. And then we'll end with this third point. We won't make it tonight, so we'll have to adjust things. But listen to the First Amendment. First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. The secularist will view the First Amendment as Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. They view that as, oh, there can't be any religion. And then if you press them, they'll say, well, there can't be any state religion. Well, now they're getting closer to the truth. Do you guys all know why the First Amendment is the First Amendment? By the way, does anybody know who the author is of the First Amendment? The same guy who launched the war against the Muslim Barbary pirates in the Mediterranean, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's best friend, by the way, you got to go there someday. You can go take the time as I'm talking, take the time to read that a little bit. God who gave us life, gave us liberty, and he references on all four panels of the Jefferson Memorial, he references God in every one of them. Well, he says that Congress shall make no law respecting a religion. His dear friend, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Danbury, Connecticut, said, Mr. President, my friend, now that you're president, remember, don't let religion become something that the state controls like we had in England. There must never be a state church. And Jefferson said, I assure you, as long as I have control or power or influence, there will never be a state church. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not want a state church. And let me tell you something. Our kingdom is not of this world. We fight for what's right, and we'll go down swinging when we lose. But the truth of the matter is, we stand for salt and light because God called us to do that. Our kingdom is in heaven above. It's not of this world. My dear Muslim friends, they want this world for their kingdom. They can have it. Our kingdom is above. But check this out. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or any restriction of someone exercising their religious rights. Can you be a Buddhist in America? Can you be a Christian in America? Can you be a Muslim in America? Can you be an atheist in America? Absolutely. It's amazing. It's wonderful, isn't it? No one's challenging that. The First Amendment is to defend religion, not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. But today we hear things like this, and we'll end here. I mean, really, we will. We hear people say like things like this. Hey, you know what? Isn't that to have the National Day of Prayer at the Civic Center, isn't that a violation of separation of church and state? The violation of separation of church and state? What is that? Where'd you get that from?
Well, I heard it somewhere. It's got to be somewhere.
Well, what law is that? What article, what section, what amendment is that? You're not going to find it. The founding fathers never said that. They never wrote that down. It's absolutely amazing. I have been, you can read, you can go to Daily Coast. Don't go there. I mean, it's a lunatic, insane magazine or blog or news source. It's insane. But they had a guy on there. I think it might still be on there. If you Google my name in the Daily Coast, you'll see what they said about me, have me arrested. They were going to turn me into the IRS because I encouraged you to register to vote, and that was a violation of the law of the separation of church and state. And I just laughed. They don't even know what they're talking about. This is America. It's not their America. It's our America. And young people today are growing up. You know what I want them to do? I want them to grow up on fire for Jesus. And I want them to get engaged in the culture, not hide in the corner and suck their thumb in the fetal position until it's over. I want them to be Daniels and Rebekahs and Deborahs. I want them to be like Calebs and Joshuas. Because you guys, if us oldies are going to sit it out, then let's get out of the way and let them lead. Young people today, they've been exposed to more junk than it took you and I 50 years to get exposed to. And they've seen all the junk already. They've heard all the stuff. It's terrible. But you know what? Perhaps they've also realized, you know what? This is not meaningful in life. The guys or the girls, the sex, the drugs, the games, the whatever. It's not meaningful. But if they meet the real Jesus and they live for him radically, I say, as I have been saying, and I'm going to keep saying, I want a church full of radicalized Christians. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Oh, no, no, radicalized Christians. Radicalized Christians is the way it used to be. First, read your Bible, Book of Acts. That's radicalized Christians. They came into town. In my mind, Spurs. No, they came into town with Bibles, you know, preaching the gospel, loving on people. All the people that were outside the city that nobody wanted, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the lepers, all the Christians went over there, gave them the gospel, bound up their wounds, took care of them, and made them a part of the family of God. That's radicalized Christianity. In fact, you know what? Radicalized Christianity should be normal. Should be normal. Father, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take what effort has gone on tonight and make it count. And Father, we pray right now for these young people. In fact, young people, can you just stand up while we're praying? Just stand up. If you're 30 years of age or younger, will you stand, everybody? If you're 30 and under, will you stand? Father, we pray right now for these that are standing. Lord God, that they would first of all know you, that they have come to Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith. And Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name also, Lord God, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. And Father, may they be absolutely empowered to be your witnesses in this world. Heavenly Father, I pray, we pray together, asking you to cause these that are standing, Lord, to know what they believe in. And Lord, when you call upon them, and that moment is before them to speak, that they would speak. And Lord, that they would be quiet when they're supposed to be quiet. But Lord, may they be incredible. Father, may they be, if any are tempted to be, I know they're tempted, but if any are given over, Lord, to get off the path and stray from your direction, Lord, and messing with drugs or sex or internet porn or stupid stuff, Lord God, that you would just do what you do. Lord, that you would just bring them back. Lord, that you'd break their little hearts for a moment in the repentance, and they, Lord, they would cling to you, and then, Father God, you'd give them amazing marching orders for this world. We need them, and Father, we pray that you'd bless them, and may they right now tonight be saying, Lord Jesus, use me like that. I want to be radicalized. I want to be so incredibly different. So, Father, bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Looking for real answers in real time? JackHibbs.com is your go-to destination for resources on faith, world events, and everything in between. Explore Happening Now, where Pastor Jack Hibbs takes a timely, no-nonsense look at today's biggest issues, blending biblical insight with the latest headlines. Now, whether you're curious about the world around you or you want guidance on a personal level, Pastor Jack has you covered. And by the way, don't miss the Real Life Network. It's packed with relatable, family-friendly content that really speaks to everyday challenges and triumphs, offering something really valuable for every member of your family. Now, if you're new to the faith, you want to refresh your perspective, start with that tab that says Know God, an accessible, welcoming space to learn and reflect and find your footing. Now, whatever your path, jackhibbs.com has the tools and the insights and the encouragement that you need. Tune in, log on, find something real. Once again, the website, jackhibbs.com. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.